Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. It's great to be with you on a Monday. All right, program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. For some reason, some of you don't seem to like Matt in L.A. For some reason, some of you can't quite figure out why he's ever allowed on the air. This just says, for the sake of your show, please never take a call from that loser ever again. Signed, Scott, on my knees, pleading in Manhattan. All right, I see you working. I feel you, Scott. You hit your knees. You're looking to the sky above. Please, never take a call from that loser ever again. Never's a long time. All right, I'll meet you halfway. I promise I will not take a call from that loser again today.
Outro.
Outro, Scott in Manhattan. Romy, this plunging game is hard, dog. Regards, Matt in L.A. not realizing he was on the air at the beginning of that call.
That rapping game is hard, dog.
That plunging game? You calling this gal for being a plumber? Rome, I still don't know why you give that tough guy wannabe, Matt in L.A., any play. I'm 3,000 miles away, and I want to smash him in the mouth every time I hear him. Brad in Corona, take care of my light work.
Smash!
3,000 miles away, where? Are you in Manhattan also? That'd be two people in New York City who hate this guy. Let's see, this just says, Matt in L.A. sucks. Saying something sucks is not a take, I've told you this. But Matt in L.A. does, according to Shannon. Rome, Matt talks a lot and he says nothing. Mike and Snowbird. The best thing about Matt, all the takes in response are short. I like that, man. Punchy. Brevity. Concise. Like, Matt sucks. Matt talks a lot and says nothing. I want to punch Matt in the face. For the sake of your show, please never take a call from that loser ever again. Rome, this plunging game is hard, dog. Gotta admit, it's inspired some of the best responses we can get. All right, so moving along. I've got Howard Beck coming up later on in the hour, and you know how to find me. I'm not going to run that down again. Go back to Friday, though. Go back to Friday in college basketball. And you had Monmouth in Lawrence to face number 5, Kansas. Monmouth v. Kansas. Jayhawks, number 5. And that game went exactly the way you'd expect a Monmouth Kansas game to go. With 25 seconds left in that game, KU is up big. In fact, really big. 110 to 55. 5 seconds left. They're up 55. They're going to dribble out the clock, as you'd expect. A classic double up. 55. 110 to 55. And that game's going to mercifully come to an end. Unless George Pappas has anything to do with it. My man George of Monmouth, not content to sit back and watch basketball's version of the victory formation. So he did the most ridiculous and awesome thing that I think I have ever seen. At least in the midst of a 55-point blowout. This truly is incredible.
KU doesn't have to shoot. If it ends right now, it's going to be a doubled-up final tally. I think that's where it's going to end. Tristan Inarruda has it taken away by Pappas as he was trying to dribble out the clock. And Pappas throws down a dunk and then gets up in Inarruda's face. He's going to get teed up, and he should. KU was doing the classy thing and running out the clock. Pappas then comes in, takes the ball away, throws a dunk, and then talks trash. He needs to get back to New Jersey with that type of attitude.
What? What kind of attitude? That was a great call. Jayhawks Radio. Man, Pappas, I'll tell you what, that's just not cool. This guy's got to get back to New Jersey with that type of attitude. But that type of attitude, that guy can go wherever the hell he wants. New Jersey, L.A., Boston, Philly, Chicago, Orange County. Where is that type of attitude not welcomed?
He needs to get back to New Jersey with that type of attitude.
Is that a New Jersey thing? Because if that's a New Jersey thing, I need to spend more time in New Jersey. I haven't heard KU being that offended by anything that happened at Allen Fieldhouse since Snoop showed up with stripper poles and some naughty words. This freaking dude, Pappas, is incredible. If you haven't seen the video and you only heard the audio, there are 5 seconds left. They're dribbling out the final 5 seconds. They're up 55. Everybody else is on their way to the locker room except George Pappas. He sneaks up behind the back of the dude dribbling out the clock, rips the ball, runs down the other way, and dunks the damn thing. And then no sooner than he hit the floor, is running his mouth all over that barn, yelling at least twice, quote, "I don't give a bleep. I don't give a bleep." And then he gets teed up for it, and KU gets the margin right back to double-up territory. What an amazing sequence that was. And this dude, George Pappas. I mean, again, I've said this a million times on this show. I would never indict a guy for his look, but he's got the exact look of a guy who would steal the ball, down 55 with 4 seconds left, flush it, then bleep the world twice on national TV. And the best part is, while his coach, King Rice, which is an amazing name, King Rice, while King Rice apologized to KU for his players' actions, Bill Self actually went the other way and criticized his own guy for being too casual with The Rock at the end of the game. Then again, I understand you want to coach until the last second, and especially if there's a teaching moment involved. I just didn't know you had to protect The Rock with 4 seconds left in a game in an obvious dribble-out situation in a 55-point beatdown. I didn't know you had to worry about protecting the ball with 4 seconds left in that situation. Then again, I really didn't know George Pappas, a Monmouth, until Friday. And man, I'm damn glad I do. Now I'm looking all over the internet for this guy's gamer. I don't have a gamer. And no offense to anybody, I'm an adult. I'm a 55-something-year-old guy. I don't wear college players' gamers. However, I'm about to make an exception. Because if I were ever to wear a jersey, college, pro, or otherwise, it's going to be the jersey of some rando who pickpocketed The Rock down 55, dunked it the other way, and screamed, "I don't give an F," twice on national TV. Pretty hard to trend on Twitter these days, especially as a kid bawling from Monmouth in a 55-point beatdown, but Georgie P. found a way, and now I need his gamer.
KU doesn't have to shoot. If it ends right now, it's going to be a doubled-up final tally. I think that's where it's going to end. Tristan Inarumo.
No, it's well, actually, it is.
Pappas, as he was trying to dribble out the clock, and Pappas throws down a dunk and then gets up in Inarumo's face. He's going to get teed up, and he should. KU was doing the classy thing and running out the clock. Pappas then comes in, takes the ball away, throws a dunk, and then talks trash. He needs to get back to New Jersey with that type of attitude.
Nothing against KU, but let's not get carried away with hyping them up for doing the classy thing. You were pounding the ball into the ground for 4 seconds. That doesn't exactly scream class. You were doing what everybody else who's had a 55-point lead with 5 seconds left would ever do or has ever done. So let's not get carried away with how classy that was. And let's also not get carried away with saying how jacked up it was that Pappas stole the ball. There was still time left on the clock, all right? If you're going to say to me that a coach will never stop coaching until the game ends, then don't get all bent out of shape when a player continues to play until the game ends and then let you hear about it afterwards. An incredible moment in college basketball. Hey, Rome, love the aggressiveness from that Monmouth player who dunked and celebrated down 55. Dude really gets it. Signed, guy who gets onto the elevator before people get off. Stephen PHX, can I tell you something? Guy who gets on the elevator before anybody gets off is more of a reason to go than a guy pickpocketing somebody else down 55 and then going the other way and dunking it and letting everybody hear about it. He should have hung on the rim for 30 seconds and then let everybody know. Should have gone Jerome Lane and brought the glass down. That would have been good. I mean, if you're going to do it, George, man, do it right. Go big. Finish. He should have been swinging from the rim for like 30 seconds and talking junk and pointing at the guys below him. Warren Mello, this is Stephen PHX now, Warren Mello telling Damian Lillard that they play rock, paper, scissors to see who takes the last shot. Didn't spend a lot of time on that last week, and I wanted to. 1-800-636-8686. King Rice. You remember King Rice? Former North Carolina point guard. Former Dean Smith disciple. Great name and game. He could play now, King Rice. King Rice. It's one of my favorite games. I don't do a lot of this on the show. Dave Whelan and I do this all the time. Great names, great names. King Rice is a great name. The way it looks, the way it sounds. God Sham God's a great name. Peerless Price is a great name. Champ Bailey's good. I told Rit to find Champ. 1-800-636-8686. JJ Sport Mode tweets, no apology necessary. He doesn't have to go back to New Jersey or give back his jersey. Hey, KU, you might have scoreboard, but Pappas reminded you it's a man's game, bitch.
Man's game, bitch.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he reminded anybody of. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't awesome. It was awesome because you'd never expect it in a million years. Ask the guy who was dribbling out the clock. And not only did he go in there and snatch it, he went the other way, threw it down, and then was looking to get in somebody's face and let them hear about it. And went with F-bombs. I mean, at that point, it doesn't even do any good to say, hey, George, would you look up at the scoreboard, dope? Now it's 53. You can't scoreboard that guy. He's scoreboarding you with that act of awesomeness. Especially when he had to give back the 2 points on the tee so they did, in fact, double him up. I mean, maybe that's what the guy was thinking. I don't know. I can't get inside George's head. Either he was thinking, hey, man, this is a bad look. They doubled us up. I'll take care of that. And this guy can go back in the locker room and tell his coach. Like when King says, hey, man, what were you thinking? All right, glad you asked, Coach. What I was thinking was it'd be a terrible look for any and all of us from Monmouth to get doubled up. And I, for one, was not going to let that happen. Either that or my man was just thinking, the game's not over. 5-4 seconds left on the clock. I'm not going to sit here and take this. Yeah, whatever it was great. Mike D for three tweets, that dude from Jayhawks Radio is a loser. Let the Monmouth scrub have his dunk against Kansas. That dude should get a medal, quite frankly. Jeff 2 tweets, thank you, George Pappas, for giving me more sincerely content. Yours, Joaquin. A quick shout out to my guy, James Kelly. Would you shut your mouth, Kelly? Dude, all the years you've worked with me and you bring that around here. Let me ask you something. Flight Deck, do you like working here? Because if I get fired, you don't work here. Have you thought about that? Big head. Come on, man. I can't share that story with you right now because I don't want to get fired. The last week that I host a show, I will add that to the pile. List of things I can do my last week because what are they going to do, fire me? I'm not on my last week. Flight Deck, keep it in mind. Yeah, that's him, all right. Anyway, so where do you come out on this? Was Kansas, I'll put it in the form of a question. Was Kansas doing the classy thing and dribbling out that clock? And Is there no place in the game for Pappas? Or is Pappas like the best thing that happened this weekend? If it made me laugh, how bad can it be? It made me laugh hard. If it made me laugh and then hit replay 50 times, then it must be a pretty good thing. Again, who thinks to do that? Unbelievable. All right, when we come back, I'm on the side of that's okay. He didn't violate some crazy code.
I think that's where it's going to end.
Yeah, I thought so too. It is Monday. So you know what that means. You love football, right? Thanks, Matt. Do you love Monday nights? Do you love money? Then get with the program, get down to Hooters, catch the game, play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from a chance at making money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food. You can win drinks. It's easy to play, and it works just like making prop picks. So who is going to win? Could be you. And it could not get any easier. And it's free to play. You love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix. So get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games. Eat, drink, and play for all the money. Hooters, money, Monday Night Moneyball. Happening only at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long. Go to HootersMoneyball.com or head to your local Hooters. Get it on.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, coming to Hooters. Do it tonight. Do it every Monday. And play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes in Hooters freebies. New chance to win every week. Hooters girls make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. Howard Beck in 15. Raider freaking nation, the hell is up with you. Go ahead, get hyped, get jacked. The autumn wind truly is a pirate this season. I can't believe it. They're 6-4 through 10. They're tied atop the division, a division many thought was the toughest in football coming into the season. Tied atop the division for another couple of hours with KC. And on the off chance that Kansas City loses tonight and the Chargers take care of business, they will be in first place alone, the Raiders, in the AFC West. So let me acknowledge that. Now, for the moment, this is not necessarily about you. This is about what you did to the Bengals. And a certain Bengals fan with that 17-10 win yesterday at the Coliseum. Because not only did the Silver and Black send the Natty to a league-worst 0-10 record, but they also unknowingly renewed some poor soul's week-to-week lease on a rooftop tent. Right now, as I speak from this climate-controlled studio in SoCal, even that's a lie. I can't control the climate in this studio. I ride that thermostat up and down every single day, all day that I'm in here, man. In fact, in this studio, and ask anybody who's been here as a guest, it probably is as cold as it is from my man, Jeff Lanham. Anyway, so the studio is not climate controlled at all. Not that I'm complaining. So Jeff Lanham, my man Jeff is living on the roof of his barbecue restaurant 2,000 miles away in Milan, Indiana. It's currently 37 degrees. It's going to drop below freezing overnight. And apparently, I didn't know this, but he's been there 43 days and counting in a tent with nothing but a cot, a sleeping bag, a TV, and an electric space heater. So why is Jeff, the chef, up on the roof? Because for some reason, he told his wife that he would go live on the roof of their barbecue joint if the Bengals lost to the Cardinals. Wife was probably like looking to hit that thing hard. Cards, man. Cards. Go Cards. So he makes that unsolicited announcement way the hell back in week five. Week five of a Bengals season that has gotten progressively worse and worse every damn Sunday. The only reason anyone knows that Jeff threatened to go live on a roof is because his wife told the local news, WKRC, which often uses their restaurant as a remote broadcast location for Bengals road games. So she put it on record. According to the Washington Post, so this story made its way all the way to the Post. According to the Post, Jeff was joking, but his wife made the joke a reality when she dimed him to the news. Quote, I said it, so it's my fault. But she kind of put salt in the wound by saying it live on Channel 12. So now I'm living it. And until they win, I'm stuck on the roof. End quote. 43 days later, and Jeff is still on the roof, living in a tent when his house is only a couple of miles away. He told the Post, quote, you're just bored as hell up here, watching TV and Netflix, but there's literally nothing else for you to do now that it's like 20 degrees. I just turn on my heater, strip down to my boxers, and lay in my sleeping bag for most of the day. End quote. Man, that sounds pretty harsh. And it still sounds a hell of a lot better than watching the Bengals. But apparently he does that too. And Icky Woods has even paid the castaway a visit up in his tent and watched a game with him, which makes this whole stunt even dumber than it already is. Dumber than it already is because of the fact that nobody is holding him to this. He didn't bet anything. He never laid down any ground rules or parameters. He just told his wife he'd go live on the roof if the Bengals lost to the Cards 6 weeks back and didn't even mean it. He said it as a joke. And yet there he is, still up there, naked, in a sleeping bag, watching Netflix, freezing his ass off, and waiting for former Bengals to come up and kick it with him like Icky. And now his wife is literally asking God to bring him down. She said, quote, I'm just praying that the Bengals win so he can come back home. End quote. So she is relying on divine intervention to get her old man back. All right, I never want to get between anybody and their faith. I'm not going to tell you what to believe in. I don't want you telling me what to believe in. But I've got a crazy idea. Why don't you just get your ass off that roof? Just come down off the roof. You don't need divine intervention here. Put your clothes back on. Come down off the roof. Trust me when I tell you, nobody will care. Nobody will care. Nobody will question it. Nobody will challenge you. It took the national news 6 weeks to realize you were even up there in the first place. Come on down. Watch the world continue to turn. Because you're clearly making this up as you go. And the Bengals are playing the Steelers this weekend in the final game before Thanksgiving. Are you really going to spend Thanksgiving on that roof of your barbecue joint because your wife told the almighty WKRC that you'd live up there if Cincinnati lost to Arizona? Yo, Broham, what happens if they go 0-16? What if they do run the table in reverse? Are you going to be up there the entire offseason, right through camp and OTAs as well? You see, the longer you stay up there, Jeff, the more I'm starting to think you want to be up there. That you're a married man with a business, and for 43 days, you've been on vacation from both. Watching Netflix, eating snacks, laying around naked in front of a space heater, and kicking it with Icky Woods. Newsflash, bro, Boomer Esiason ain't coming up on that roof with you. He's just not. Either come down right now or admit you are loving life in the tent. Because if you weren't having the time of your life, living like a bachelor in a Coleman, you'd already be home now. Nothing is stopping you, Jeff. Nothing except the nonstop sleeping, eating and binge watching of Netflix. I'm on to you, dude. I am on to you, and it's not going to be long before the wife is as well.
The last couple of weeks, I'm praying, you know, like, please let us win so Jeff can come down.
Actually, ma'am, I'm on to you, too. If you wanted that guy back, you'd say, get your ass down here. You wouldn't be asking the Lord for help. I'm on to both of you. I got a feeling you both like this arrangement. That's how it feels to me. When we come back, Bleacher Report senior NBA writer Howard Beck joins us. If you're on hold, I may still get to you before the end of the program. There's a possibility. Howard Beck joins me when we come back. But first, here is your Bobby. ATP upcoming. The Ask the Pros segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, Howard Beck will be joining me momentarily. And we're going to talk Laker basketball, among other things. It's a relatively small sample size, but 12 or 13 games in, they've got the best record in the NBA. So, good starter, good team. Great starter, great team. Are they a team that can contend for an NBA championship? I will run Howard Beck down momentarily, and he will share his thoughts. I've got my own thoughts on that, but he will be joining us. Also, the Jim Rome podcast is coming up on Wednesday, coming towards the end of the year. This week's guest is this week's guests, plural. My guys, my fellow Hall of Fame members from the class of 2019, iconic and legendary morning show hosts Kevin and Bean are going to join me, and we'll chop it up.
My honor.
Talk about the Hall of Fame experience and their show, which is an amazing show. One of the best radio shows ever. Rome, it's the ATP. Rome, whenever you say the word ground,
put me in the ground.
Lil Alvy always plays sound of somebody saying, put me in the ground.
Put me in the ground.
Who is saying that? And where does that come from? Signed, Tom in New Jersey. Good job, Tom. I love it when one of the East Coasters comes in with a little clarification. All right, so whenever you say the word ground,
put me in the ground.
Lil Alvy plays sound of somebody saying, put me in the ground.
Put me in the ground.
Who is saying that? Where does it come from? Tom, does that voice not sound familiar? Let me play it for you again.
Put me in the ground.
Put me in the ground.
Put me in the ground.
That is none other than Tonya Harding.
Put me in the ground.
And the context is that was a 911 call. I know, shocking. Tonya involved in the 911 call. Apparently she got into an altercation with her then-boyfriend. And if you listen to the clip in its entirety, she says, if memory serves me correctly, he put me in the ground, so I punched him in the face. Or part of it.
This is Clark County 911. How can I help you?
I need you to come over to my house right now. I punched him in the face because he came after me, put me in the ground.
All right, so I reversed the two.
What's his middle name?
She said, thank you, Abby. She said, Tonya said, I need you to come over here right away. I punched him in the face because he put me in the ground. All right, so that's what that means whenever you hear that, and that's why we have the ATP. Now you know. You'll never know unless you ask. We are joined by a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. He is also the host of the Full 48 podcast, and you know he's a good friend of the program. He is back. Howard Beck. Hey, Howard, how are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you?
Good. Great to visit, Howard. Let me start with the LA Lakers, and it's good to have you back. I mean, most teams have played, Howard, 12 or 13 games, roughly, which means we're about a month into the season. The Lakers have the best record in the league. Their defense has been electric. Let me start right there, because that's surprising. It's a small sample size, but how impressed have you been with the way the Lakers are playing D?
Yeah, it's funny because if the question were, you know, hey, the Lakers are doing really well, they've got LeBron and AD, are you surprised? You'd sit there and you'd laugh and say, of course, like this is exactly what you expect from the Lakers, that they're going to be dominant when they have two stars LeBron reviving himself after last season's injury. Anthony Davis, obviously an elite player. But there were legitimate questions, Jim, about not the fit. Those two were always going to be fine. I think there were legitimate questions coming in, answered well so far, about supporting cast, about defense, and to an extent about whether LeBron could still summon the old MVP version of himself in year 17 and now just a month shy of his 35th birthday. I was one who still thought, you know what, dude is still number one until we are definitively shown otherwise, until LeBron either literally or figuratively falls off a cliff. I'm not ready to put Kawhi Leonard or anybody else over him. So as far as I was concerned, I had no doubts about his ability to summon that level again, especially with Anthony Davis to help to basically take some of that burden off, to have another star to play off of. Last year was not going to be a true indicator. But what they've done defensively is, in fact, the most impressive and the most important part of this, because it shows that on nights that they maybe don't have it all offensively. And look, they don't have a great third option. They've got two elite guys. The drop-off is pretty steep after that. But it shows that they can still hang in games because they've got the ability to lock guys down.
Howard Beck joining us. I think these are all valid questions, and you addressed a lot of that. I got to say, though, Howard, I've been surprised by a lot of things over the course of my career, over the course of my life. I'm not sure I've ever been more surprised than what I've seen Dwight Howard do in his return with the Lakers. I mean, I was all in favor of them signing him because they needed size, they needed depth. But did you ever see him or them having the kind of impact that they are right now with Dwight Howard?
No, and listen, Jim, admittedly, and I will say this outright, one, I wasn't sold on the DeMarcus Cousins signing even before he had gotten hurt, because there's always a little bit of other stuff that comes with signing him. And then when they essentially out of desperation turned to Dwight, like everybody else, I kind of rolled my eyes and laughed a little, like, are you kidding me? After the way this went the first time? And yeah, that's years ago and many, many teams ago for Dwight Howard. But I don't think Dwight Howard had shown us, demonstrated to either us or frankly to NBA teams, to players and executives, that he had significantly evolved in all the years since he was last with the Lakers. And, you know, every team is just so ready to move on from him that I thought this one's probably doomed too. So that all said, all the credit in the world to Dwight Howard and to the Lakers for making this work, to Dwight for just playing a role, not complaining about anything, not talking about his touches or needing to be a post guy or anything else. He's just doing his job, playing it to the hilt, whether that's protecting the rim, knocking guys on their butts occasionally, setting screens, and just being a good teammate. I mean, that's the thing. For all of Dwight Howard's accolades and achievements in the course of his career, and it's hard to remember now, but there was a time when he was elite and respected for it. At this stage, just being a good teammate, just playing whatever role he has to the hilt, and he's done that. And that 1-2 punch between him and JaVale McGee is working out pretty well. You're going to have a lot of minutes where it's Anthony Davis at the five anyway. They've found a formula that really works. And look, it's early, and we're all going to get carried away, but I do think that what the Lakers are doing is largely sustainable.
I was going to say, Howard Beck joining us. It is early. People will get carried away. They have not played the toughest schedule ever. But does it feel to you like a team that can legitimately contend for an NBA championship?
Yes. Listen, I going into the season on paper, like a lot of people, I thought the Clippers had the stronger team on paper. I still think so. We have yet to see the Clippers at, you know, full capacity with Kawhi and Paul George out there together for an extended run to see exactly what their full potential is. But the Clippers brought back, you know, a solid core that won 48 games without any stars at all. And they've got a guy in Lou Williams that can drop 25-30 on any given night. I think the overall just construction of the Clippers, just they're deeper and more versatile, but that doesn't mean it's by miles. The Lakers, I think it's going to go down to the end. Let's hope that the playoff bracket actually sets up this way. It should be Lakers-Clippers for the Western Conference Finals if everything's right in the universe, and that'll be a lot of fun. But absolutely, the Lakers have the ability to get to the finals and to win the championship.
That might be the best thing ever. Lakers Clippers come out of the West. We're joined by Howard Beck. So Howard, if Dwight Howard's reinvention is just incredible, what would you say about Andrew Wiggins? Now, Andrew Wiggins has been a Twitter target for NBA fans for a long time now, but he's had six straight games of 25 or more, 30 or more in four of his last five. What's more miraculous, the reinvention of Dwight Howard or of Andrew Wiggins? And is this sustainable?
I'm actually almost more surprised by Dwight's reinvention, only because we had years to say, you know, we know who this guy is. There's just, you get to that stage of your career, there is no reinvention at that point usually. But with Wiggins, we forget how young he was when he came in and how young he still is. And yeah, look, once you're 5-6 years in to a career, probably you are who you are. But I always say there's a difference in a guy who's underachieved, and I only say that because of obviously the draft position, but you can underachieve because maybe you didn't exactly have all the skills that we thought you had on the day you were drafted, or something else happened, injuries or whatever. In his case, there was never any doubt about Andrew Wiggins having the skill level, the ability, the talent, the athleticism, the body type. All the requisite stuff was there. It was more a matter of, will he take the right shots at the right time? Can he cut down on the bad possessions, the empty possessions? Can he be a little bit better defender? Can he be a little more dedicated at that end? And credit to Wiggins himself, credit to Ryan Saunders and his staff and to that team for finding the best version of him. It was still, it was there. You know, there were numbers that were there and they were empty numbers for a lot of years. But by just taking smarter shots, cutting out a lot of the mid-range, driving to the basket more, trying to make his game more of the modern version of drives to the rim or three-point shots and eliminating the long twos, passing the ball more, his assists are up, everything. He's all these little things. None of these are like dramatic leaps. It's just he tailored his game and all the stuff that was already there to make it more effective. And, you know, yeah, I think it's sustainable.
So quickly, Howard, we talked about small sample size. The Knicks are 3-10, lots of drama already. What are they? Where are they as an organization? What exactly are the Knicks trying to accomplish?
Man, I wish I had a decent answer there, Jim, or one that could contain within like 2 minutes instead of 3 hours. But it just feels like the same old Knicks. I mean, this is every year we could have this discussion, or at a minimum every couple of years. And we do. That's the sad part of it. I feel for, as you know, I live here in New York. I'm surrounded by Knicks fans. I feel for them. It's torturous. The fact is, they struck out this summer. Sure, they made some decent short-term signings that don't lock them up for the long-term, all that stuff. You still just don't have enough talent here, though. They don't have a starting caliber point guard. And I know Dennis Smith Jr. had a good game last week against his old team, the Mavericks. But Dennis Smith Jr., Elfrid Payton, who's been hurt, Frank Ntilikina, they don't have a point guard. They don't have enough shooting. They have, as we know, too many power forwards. The one franchise star that you thought they could build around was Porzingis, and they traded him away last February for, as I've called it, a bag of magic beans. They just don't have anything to show for year after year of losing, other than, hey, we've got some flexibility in the cap, and we've got a couple extra picks that we got from Dallas in the Porzingis deal. But in the near term, there's just not enough there. A lot of people are firing at Fizdale now. I think that while there's plenty to pick apart in the way he has handled his team, ultimately he was not dealt a very good hand by this front office. What's the end game? Where does this go? I mean, as per usual, it feels like it's just going to be one crisis after another. And, I never like to predict or say that people are going to lose jobs, but that's the reality of this league. And it feels like this is one of those seasons where by the end, by next spring, probably there are going to be a few faces changed once again.
Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast, good friend of the program. Howard, great job. Way to close the show for us. Nicely done. You want to come into Hooters every Monday all season and play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies, a new chance to win every week, and Hooters grows to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. My thanks to Charles Robinson. Back in hour one, Eli Drinkwitz, App State head coach. Howard Beck, Bleacher Report. Thanks for listening, clones. Thanks to the XR4TI. Check out Chiefs Chargers tonight, and we'll talk about it tomorrow right here.